Let's read Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, 16 through 18. Where the Lord Jesus says this. He says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Let's pray. Our Father who sees in secret, even in the secret places of our heart right now, we ask, God, that you would apply your word to our lives. Teach us, God, more about who we are to be in Christ. Expose us, our flaws, our weaknesses, our failures. And show us, God, how we can grow from them to become more like your Son. And use our time here this morning toward that end. Give us attentive ears. Whatever's distracting anybody in this room right now, Lord, please focus their attention on your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The words of Jesus, his words, they search us. They look inwardly in our hearts and they expose us. Things that we don't naturally want to happen, things that make us uncomfortable. We don't like to be searched. We don't like to be exposed. But the irony of that is that the more that the Word of God reveals about our flaws, reveals our failures, the more free and joyful we as a people can become. That's the strange thing. It's uncomfortable to be exposed, but it is such a good thing for our hearts, because the Word of God, it wounds us, it strikes us, but it heals us and it makes us stronger. And so here in this passage, Jesus, he will not allow us to hide our sin, especially under a veil of religion. I can remember as a boy that my method for cleaning my room was to stuff everything underneath my bed. You know, you cleaned up that way. Everything looked good when somebody walked in the room. It all looked nice, but they didn't know where all the mess was. And every now and then, my parents would force me to pull all my stuff out from underneath the bed, sort through it, you know, and I didn't like that. It was a lengthy process. I'm sure there were things I would rather be spending my time doing than going through my mess that I had stuffed underneath my bed. But I always felt like after it was done, it was so helpful. It felt so good to just be clean. And here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus pulls our junk right out in front of us, sets it before us, and tells us we need to sort through it. He's exposing us, and he's telling us right at the same time, this is such a good and necessary thing for his people. He wants us to deal with it and to be cleansed. And the main principle for this passage is in verse 1 of chapter 6. Take a look at what Jesus says here. He says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." He's telling us that there is a danger in practicing or doing religious deeds in front of other people for the wrong reason. Not for the eyes of God, but for the eyes of men, so that we can be seen by them. So Jesus has already told us in the previous chapter that we need to have a deeper inward righteousness. There needs to be something deeper in us than the scribes and the Pharisees, those religious people of his day. But what he's telling us here is that it's important when we have righteousness, when we know the Lord, when we're following Jesus, that we do not do religious things in front of people to be seen by them. So we need to have a deeper inward righteousness, but we need to make sure we also have a deeper outward righteousness, have the right motivation for why we do the things that we do. This is a passage that has good church-going people right in the crosshairs. He's talking to us this morning. There's always the pull to be seen by others for the good things that we do. We want praise from other folks. We want them to notice us and to think well of us. And what our Lord tells us here is that when we do good things for the applause of anybody but God, we're hypocrites. And so true religion or righteousness is what a man does for the eyes of God alone. It's what he is before God, not before everybody else. And what we think are our best moments of ministry, our greatest deeds, our biggest gifts, our most beautiful prayers, all of these can be ruined by sin and worthless before God if they are done for the wrong reason. If we're motivated by the wrong thing, he's telling us we get no reward from God, and it's ruined in his sight. And so three times here, Jesus warns us that instead of being righteous people, we can be hypocrites. Verse 2, verse 5, verse 16. Look at what he says. He says, "When you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do." Verse 5, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites." Verse 16, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites." And so Jesus is telling us here there are certain people that he's talking to, certain people who do things for the applause of men. I mean, and the word that's used here is an actor in a theater. That's what a hypocrite is. At least in his day, that's what it was defined as. Somebody who wore a mask. Someone who played a part on a stage for other people to see. Acting like they weren't, or acting like they were something that they really were not. They're pretenders. And so here Jesus talks about three different things, three different ways that people can show their religious goodness, their religious deeds: giving, praying, and fasting. So first he says, you give freely to the poor. You write big checks for ministry. You give away your things. But be warned if you draw attention to what you are doing. He's saying that you're just playing the part of an actor on the stage if the only reason you're doing it is so other people will notice you. And I think that he's being metaphorical here when he says that the hypocrite in his day would blow a horn when he gave. You know, maybe it's not a metaphor. But clearly, he is describing a person who looks to draw attention to himself when they do an act of kindness. So others will take notice and think highly of them. And that's what he says here in verse 2. And then he goes on and adds, "Truly I say to you, these people, they have their reward." So they were chasing after the applause of men. That's what they wanted. That's what they got. They got what they were looking for, but he's telling us that they will get nothing from God for what they've done. I was recently told a story from many years ago here in South Buffalo about one of the churches here. They used to use one of their walls in the church to list by rank who the highest givers were. They showed who the highest givers were on the wall, and people would get pretty upset, you know, if they really thought they were the highest giver. If you're number two, where do you want to be? You don't want to be number two if you're that close. You want to be number one, right? Why would somebody want that? Why do they want to have their name, at the very least, on the board, if not number one on the board? Well, if Jesus has anything to say about it, It's so that others would applaud them. Walk by that big wall with all those names and be like, man, Nancy's a giver. Right? Dan, he is a giver. I wish I could give like Dan. At least that's what the giver might have in mind when they are giving. So that other people would applaud them for their generosity, their big heart, you know. And what Jesus is telling us here is that those people, if they gave for that reason, they got their reward. And the reward was to be thought well of in the minds of other people, but they get nothing from God. And I assume that most people here would know better than to have your name listed on the big board. You know, if we had one. Thank God we don't. Or to is what Jesus says here, or to sound a trumpet before you give. I mean, I don't think you're going to do that, right? You're not going to parade through the streets, blow the trumpet right before you hand a quarter to this needy person so that everybody will notice and see what you're doing. But do you ever find subtle ways to clue other people in on your generous deeds? Find little ways to hint at it. Maybe even just casually bring it up in conversation so that other people will know that you've done something that you are proud of. You're able to cloak it in humility. Say things kind of like they're an afterthought, but just hoping that somebody will hear and pay attention. I think we all have this desire to be thought well of by other people. Pride is driving us toward that way of thinking. We want people to see us as generous and good, and so we do things that they might see us and applaud us. And you might be sitting here this morning thinking you have no interest in the praise of other people, and maybe you don't. Maybe you have no interest in somebody praising you or clapping about the things that you've done. But Jesus, here in this passage, he knows that there is something deeper than that that people are after. Chasing after something more than just the applause of men. Because underneath that desire for the praise of other people is the desire for praise of self. Not only do I want other people to think well of me, I want to think well of me. I want to exalt myself. It's all those I's and me's and my's and mine's, everything to do with me. I want to put myself on a high pedestal. Jesus knows that the applause of other people is just a stream that leads to an ocean of self-love. Self-glorification, exaltation. That's why he says so beautifully here that we should not let our left hand know what our right hand is doing. And what he's getting at is that not only should others not know what I give, not only should I give in secret in front of other people and not care what they think about my giving, I should not know what I am giving. I should not be overly concerned about paying attention to the things that I am giving. And this is how sneaky pride is. Because we don't crave the praise of others. You know, if we don't crave that, if we're not after that, or maybe we don't think we're pursuing the praise of other people, we think that we're in the clear in a passage like this. We don't want them to notice, right? So maybe I give very secretly in the plates and nobody else sees. But then what do? I applaud myself for how secretly I gave. And so Jesus is telling us your left hand shouldn't even know what your right hand is doing, because what do? When we know how secretly we gave, it's almost as if my left hand high-fives my right. Oh, that was so good. Nobody else noticed it, and I'm really proud of that. We have the online option of giving, so you don't even have to give on Sunday mornings. Don't have to worry about anybody else watching you put your envelope in the offering plate if you want to carry this out to the tee. But Jesus goes even deeper than that. When you give online and nobody else gives, you're not supposed to even applaud yourself for how secretly you gave. Your left hand should not know what your right hand is doing. We're so quick to congratulate ourselves when we think we did well. We say, I'm so glad I'm not like that boaster. I watched him put his money in the plate, and he clanged every coin in there so that people could see. I'm glad I'm not like him. I give in secret, and I'm so glad that I do. So Jesus is telling us that we have to become self-forgetful when we do good, that we're not supposed to keep records of our good works. We're supposed to praise God that He gave us the opportunity and the ability to do these things, leave them there, and be ready for the next time. Because what happens sometimes when we do good, does your mind ever wander back then and make yourself feel good about yourself? Like, man, remember that time I gave to that person who was in need? Man. And it puffs us up. And Jesus is warning us about that. So maybe you've come here today and you don't give for the applause of anybody else. You don't care if anybody else sees you and what you do. You're not worried about that in the least. Maybe, just maybe, you still give for the applause of your own self. And our Father who sees that in secret has no reward for us. If we want our deeds and our ministries to be seen and rejoiced over by God, we need to be satisfied with having Him as our only witness, that God would be our only rewarder. Because if we're not, Jesus says, we're just playing at religion. We're just playing a part for other people to see. And He says that we're hypocrites. He tells us we can do that in giving. We can give for the applause of men. He also tells us we can do that when we pray. And so this desire for applause, to be noticed, can ruin our prayers. Some of the most precious words that ever come out of our mouths as we come before the throne of grace, it can be ruined by a desire to be seen and applauded by men. Jesus says that the hypocrites, they love to be seen by others praying, to be thought of as godly men, to wax eloquent with the proper English, with those perfectly constructed phrases, you know, never messing up what they say, tickling the ears of those people who hear them. And what a danger this is for those who are given the opportunity to pray in public. I have to admit, this week as I'm reading through these passages, and this is talking about me. Anybody that stands before other people commending godliness, commending righteousness, praying, teaching, preaching even, what a danger this is to do it for the applause of other people. So Jesus is saying that instead of offering up your prayer to God, you can easily offer up your prayer to your listeners, being more concerned about what they think with what you say than what God thinks. So the prayer that is offered to God and answered by Him has to be directed at Him alone, as if God is the only one who hears you. So even on a stage, it's not about the other people and what they think. It's about what your Father in heaven thinks. That's why I don't think that Jesus' main concern here is the exact place of prayer, about whether you really go into your prayer closet or not and lock your door. I think He's concerned about the position of your heart when you pray, what your heart is like, your motivation for praying, not exactly where you're praying at. So we need to ask ourselves those questions. When I pray, especially here before other people, what's motivating me? Who is that prayer genuinely aimed at? Who do I want the applause of? The people who are listening or my Father in heaven, who sees the position of my heart? Am I coming before Him in worship? Am I pleading with Him as if only He hears me? That's what God is concerned about. So it's possible that you might think again that you're in the clear in a passage like this, since maybe you never have to pray in public. You never stand on the street corners praying, never stand on the stage and pray, or maybe never before a class or even a small group. You never have to pray. All of your prayers are in private. But think with me, though, how easily this sin can invade the closet. It can invade even when you are all by yourself. Have you ever wanted anybody else to know about your time in prayer? Have you ever found ways to get it out there that you're a prayerful person so that other people will know. They might ask you, you know, hey, can you, Lee, can you do something in the morning with me about 7 a.m.? And, you know, could respond, oh, I can't at 7 a.m. That's my prayer time. That's my quiet time. And maybe in the back of your mind you're thinking, I hope they know that so that they think I'm a godly man, because godly men pray. Have you ever been in prayer before and secretly wanted other people to know that's what you're doing? So there you are, all by yourself, in your room, in your office, wherever you are, and there's something on the inside thinking, it'd be nice if somebody walked in here and saw me praying so they know that I'm a godly person. This sin of pride can invade even the most private places and even our most private thoughts. Might as well put a sign on the door. Godly man in here. Doing godly things. Come and watch. Come and watch the godly man. You know, I don't think that there's anything wrong with telling somebody else that you're praying for them. But you know that even here sin can be at work. You just want them to know that you are a prayer, whether you ever lift them up at all. You just want them to know. So we drop these little clues, we drop these little hints everywhere so that other people will know just how godly I really am. I think that's what Jesus really is getting at here about being in your prayer closet where only God can see. It's not so that you just go to your prayer closet because he knows that your heart is still there. And your heart is what is so prideful. He wants you to offer up your prayers to God as if he's the only one who hears and the only one who will ever know. And not be concerned in the least what anybody else thinks. That's what Jesus is after. And can you see here what I mean by how the words of Jesus can search our hearts, how it can expose us, how it can wound us? We don't like thinking about things like this about ourselves. We don't want these brought to our attention, but Jesus does not leave us alone. He does not leave us alone. He exposes us, he wounds us, and then he heals us. So again, next week we're going to spend more time on prayer, but here in these verses, Jesus wants us to know that prayer is not a performance. We are not actors on the stage. We're not saying eloquent words so that somebody can think well of me and come up to me after the service and say, oh, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. Or even when you preach or teach, this is the danger. Wanting other people to tell you how good that was, how important that was. And don't get me wrong, I hope that the preaching of God's word impacts your heart, grabs your heart, convicts you, changes you. But in some ways, it might just be better that I never knew it, except for being able to examine or to see how the fruit of your life changes over time. Because anything can sound good while we're all sitting here together. The rubber meets the road when we walk outside this room and start trying to put God's words into practice. And so when we start offering up our prayers to God, are they genuinely to God? When we teach, when we preach, when we speak, when we do anything in the name of the Lord Jesus, is it truly for the name of the Lord Jesus? Is it for his glory or is it for mine? These are searching words. And I think we'd probably all admit at some point or another, there's a mixture in there, isn't it? I want it to be for God's glory, but it's almost like my glory's always waiting there, ready to try to steal it from him. Always. That's what pride is. We're glory thieves. We want to take from God's what is rightfully his. So we pray so that other people will hear us and think well of us, not so that God will hear us and answer us and do what only he can do. Genuine prayer that honors God, that he answers and that he hears, is directed to him. He is our Father. He cares what happens in our life, and he delights in doing good for us. And we need to pray to him as such, not so that anybody else will hear what we have to say. Lastly, Jesus mentions fasting. Fasting. The hypocrite. The religious play actor. He wanted other people to know that he was fasting and so that they would applaud him. So what would he do? Jesus says they disfigure their faces. They have this hungry look on them all the time. You know, one eye looking at everybody else, looking really hungry, so that maybe they'll ask me what I'm doing. Maybe they might just say, like, "Hey, Lonnie, why are you looking so uncomfortable today?" "Oh, don't really ask me that. I'm just fasting. You know, I'm such a religious man, so concerned about doing righteous deeds, just playing the part." Maybe these people wouldn't shower. They'd put ashes on their head. They'd wear sackcloth so all the crowds would see their spiritual struggle and think to themselves, "Now those are the godly people. I wish I could be more like them." So again, Jesus says, these people, they have their reward. They wanted the attention of men. They wanted the applause. They got it. And they get nothing else. God doesn't even take notice. And he'll not even reward them. I think that Jesus expects his followers to do the things that are mentioned here in these verses. And I say that because we know that we're supposed to give. We know that we're supposed to pray. And we see something like fasting, we think, "Oh, I don't know about that." But Jesus says here, "And when you fast," he expects it. He expects his people to do these things, to abstain from food, which is a physical need, for spiritual reasons. This is supposed to help us focus our attention on something important as we seek God's face. We're willing to set food aside so that that hunger drives us to a God who can satisfy us. Motivation, though, folks, always matters to God. And so Jesus expects us to perform these religious deeds, but it always has to be for the right reasons. Always. Because our God, again, is the one who sees in secret. You know, Phyllis doesn't know why I'm up here preaching. She just sees it, right? But God sees my heart. He knows the inner workings of what is taking place inside of me while I preach, while I pray, while I give in the offering plate, no matter what it is. Any you use your spiritual gifts, God sees why you're using your spiritual gifts. About a year ago, we were going through 1 Samuel, and it tells us that man looks on the outward appearance, but what does God look at? He sees the heart. We can only see the outside. We can only tell what's going on the outside, what your actions are doing. We can't see why you're doing what you are, but God does. And he's the only one that matters. So we could ask ourselves about our motivations this morning for why we're even here. Why did we come today? And when you got here, why did you talk to the people that you did? Or why did you avoid the people that you didn't talk to? Why did you put your hands up in worship? Or why did you keep them down? Why did you sing loud? Or maybe nod your head or say amen? Were you paying attention to other people when you put your offering in? A couple of weeks ago we had VBS, had a good turnout. Why did you volunteer for that? Or why would you volunteer for any other ministry? God is always searching our hearts. Yes, we need a deep inward righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. But then when we put our righteousness into action, God says you must also have a deeper outward righteousness that is not concerned about what other people think. I'm not doing anything to please them. I'm doing it to please my Father in heaven. So whose praise are you after? Who are you doing these things for? Why are you following Jesus for? Is it for other people? Is it for yourself so that you can take notice of it? Or is it for God's sake? And by exposing our hearts in this way, Jesus is teaching us a better way. And he's showing us it's his way. It's the way of the cross. That's what he is commending to us, crucifying the self-exalting old man that's still in here. He's there. He's dying, but he's dying slowly. The sentence has been given to him at the cross. He will be a dead man. But right now, he still influences me. Still influences the things that I do. He's still lingering around waiting to stick his foot in the door whenever he can. He wants to be noticed. And again, he wants to steal glory from God. And you and I, we might like to hide that in the closet. We might like to stuff that underneath our bed, not ever look at that ugly part of us. But Jesus will not let that happen. He exposes us and makes us deal with it. And we need to trust Jesus that it is worth the pain. So humble yourselves, brothers and sisters, under the mighty hand of God. And he tells us he will exalt us, but it takes a humbling first. And so this morning, in the sight of God alone, you and I need to be willing to confess that this old man still lives in you, still lives in me. Confess it. Ask him to forgive you when you do your religious things for the applause of men. And believe again that there is a Savior who took your sin. This one that Jesus is focusing on. He took this sin upon himself on a cross 2,000 years ago so that you could stand before God and be exalted and rewarded by your God for the things that you have done for his sight and his sight alone. Commit yourself to sacrifice for his glory. His glory, not your own. And thank God for exposing your heart and changing you from that old man into the new one. That's what we need to do before God this morning. It's an act of contrition, repentance, trusting in Jesus with faith, true faith, believing that we have been forgiven by his blood for this. Self-exaltation, even in religious things, that we would not be hypocrites. So if you want the applause of men, folks, you can have it. If your life's pursuit is to be loved by other people, or even just to love yourself, you might get what you are after, but you'll receive nothing from God. Nothing for those things. But for those who can forget themselves and find their greatest joy in making much of him, doesn't matter if anybody else sees it. It's for him. And the one who sees in secret, even the secret places of your heart, he will reward you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, break us of the old man. Change us from the old man. Show us, God, how crafty sin is in our hearts, that even when we're doing good things, things that get the applause of other people, things that are beautiful or can be beautiful, they can be ruined by self. Please, God, teach us to humble ourselves like your Son did, by crucifying, by being crucified, by sacrificing himself generously for other people, and that we might do the same for your eyes only. We love you and praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's only by him that we're accepted in your sight for what he has done, not because of what we have done. We pray in his name. Amen. If you would please stand to your feet. Remember those who are interested or a part of those teams that I mentioned, if you would go to the classroom next to the stairs, the newer classroom, after the service. We're going to finish today praising God, from whom all blessings truly do flow. And one day he will bring us before him and reward us for all the things that we have done for his eyes only. And that will be a day of rejoicing. So we'll rejoice now together in his presence. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
God bless you all. You're dismissed.